Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
That's right. The Drive is live, and it is a Victory Monday. You can see it if you're on YouTube and Twitch from Tyler Shirt. He's got his Victory Monday shirt. Ninth time this year he's had to watch that and get that prepared. He comes right from Colorado to a division championship. The Texans are in. We talked about it on this show. It was a matter of time. I just did not expect the Colts to be able to be consistent. And even in the game yesterday, boy, they looked like they were in good shape. And then Jonathan Taylor dropped the ball before he scored. And then just one of the worst double reverse passes I've ever seen in my life that was a pick six. It was just awful. So the Colts helped you out, did their part. They lost, and now the Houston Texans are AFC South champs and will have a home playoff game like last year. So let's hear from us. Let's hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans. Talks about, as he spoke to the media earlier today, you heard that on In the Loop. Check that on the Odyssey app if you missed it. Talked about what it meant, what it felt like clinching the AFC South.
Yeah, clinching the AFC South is huge for us. Great accomplishment by all of our guys. It's always our goal, right? You want to make it in the postseason. You have to win your division. It starts there. And so we're just thankful for everyone who played a part in us, you know, reaching the first step of our goal, and that's getting in. Credit to all of our guys and the work that they put in, the way they played. Yesterday, it was just outstanding to see them play that way, play complimentary football and find a way to win games. And so very proud of our guys and proud to win the AFC South.
There it is. They are back-to-back champs. And DeMeco Ryans, C.J. Stroud come in both first 2 years, win back-to-back division titles. All right, this is where I want to start. All hands on deck. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in and give your thoughts. And those of you as well on the text line, 713-572-4610. All right, back-to-back years, fellas. They have won this division. Last year was a bit of a surprise. They won 10 games, and they didn't clinch that thing until the last game of the season. This year, they've clinched it with three to go. And they have 9 wins, one more to match last year. And I want to throw this out after they defeated yesterday the Miami Dolphins. Do you feel better about this team going into the playoffs than you did last year's division champion going into the playoffs? How do you feel right now? You feel better this year, or do you think you felt better last year going into the postseason? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, Clint, you feel better now?
Right this second?
Do you feel better about this team? No. You felt better last year going to the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah. I felt better about the offense. I felt better about C.J. Stroud, their ability to win a shootout, their ability to to score, just take advantage of the opportunities that you're given throughout a game and put the points that you should on the board. I felt really good about that, and manufacturing some with just elite quarterback play. I felt better last year with going into games. Now, obviously, right after the Baltimore game, you're like, "Uh-oh, what happened?" But going into the playoffs, yeah, I don't feel good about this offense right now versus better opponents.
So, let me get this right. Are you saying you felt better about their chances of advancing last year than you feel right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I felt better about the Texans' product that is football last year going to the playoffs than I would feel right now if the playoffs started tomorrow.
Someone texted in, Ron, this year I feel better about the defense and I felt better about the offense last year. Definitely don't feel better. This year defense can keep them in all games. And people keep texting in, do you feel better? All right, your team is back-to-back AFC South champs. Do you feel better about your team this year going into the playoffs than you did last year? I want to get Tyler's thought here in a second. But, fellas, I feel better. It's not close. In terms of this team's ability to advance, one, I'll start here. I don't think, like last year, if we going into it, the thought was, all right, you got that Baltimore team that looks like, you, if you remember last year's Baltimore team, they were like the number one defense and like a top three offense, right? Like they were both sides of the ball. They looked like a hard team, and specifically a hard team for you to deal with. I don't think there's a great team like that out there. I know Buffalo is going in and just beat Detroit. They've given up 86 points the last 2 weeks as well. And you've beaten that Buffalo team. So I don't feel like there's a juggernaut at the top. And I just think that we are conditioned to believe and feel better about a team whose offense is better. And I think the Texans' defense this year is better than the offense of last year. And that offense was the thing that gave you confidence last year. I think the Texans' defense is not what the hell they did yesterday. Are you kidding me? That was dominant performance. And as you've said before, let's start thinking about the offenses that waltzed itself into NRG. This is now the Miami Dolphins, like the Buffalo Bills, like the Detroit Lions, who walked in here and didn't look anything like they normally looked or have looked before them. So I think we are conditioned to think, oh, a team is good because of the offense. I think that's why people think that Buffalo's the best team in the league, even though they have given up 40 points the last 2 weeks. But because they've scored over 40 and it feels good, I think it's conditioned offense. This defense, to go along with C.J. Stroud, who can still make plays. He is not the level of what we thought he was going to be, but like we saw yesterday, when he had to make a couple of plays to get touchdowns, he made plays. That combination, I feel better about this defense, which I think this is an elite unit. I don't think last year's offense for the Texans was an elite unit. I think this is an elite unit, and if you look across the league, there's not offenses is even down. I know Buffalo is going off a little bit lately, but that's not been what they've been all year. I feel better about the Texans' chances advancing because they got a dominant unit, and I still think, God, dog, man, can CJ, Nico, Joe figure out 20 points, 21 points? Can they figure it out in most games? So I see a lot of people rolling in. I think more people are agreeing with you, Clint, on this, that they're really skeptical of the offense. But this defense is not the first time. This defense is dominant. At times,
I agree, and that's the most encouraging thing about the defense. By the way, I agree with you about the defense. That is the most encouraging part of what we're watching with the Texans. I talked about this last night with Sean Pendergast in the postgame show, Ron. That I think the story of these next two games, really the next three, but number one, they accomplished what I hope they'd accomplished, which is the the Tennessee Titans game at the end of the season is not going to mean a damn thing.
Well, yeah.
Right? No, so that box.
Now they could take their bye.
That box is checked, right? So you look at Baltimore and Kansas City. Unless you think the Texans are going to hunt down and get the second or third seed and potentially get a second, if you win round one, potentially could get a second home game instead of having to play week two on the road, then okay. But I think the bigger story about the Kansas City-Baltimore two games is the Texans can potentially be in a spot where, as a team, you feel significantly better about your chances to advance. I think that you potentially, if you prove that you can do some things and produce and score some points against particularly the Chiefs defense, then all of a sudden you look up and you go, okay, we got a team that I don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball against everybody, but they potentially can go out there any Sunday and give you 150 rushing yards. Didn't have that last year. If CJ is you know, continues and Bobby continue, I think, to chop wood and trend in the right direction, you potentially could get close to what CJ was last year, and then you have that elite defense on top of it. I think I personally hope to, after the next 3 weeks, feel better about advancing in the playoffs than I did last year. But right this second, right now, I can't get there. So I do agree with you, though. The headliner is the defense, and they were elite yesterday. There ain't no doubt about it.
Tyler, you're a fanaholic. And I try not to let this recency bias get you. But if you say it right now, if you could put, you're going to the playoffs, this year's playoffs, which team would you feel better about advancing? Last year's Texans team or this year's Texans team?
Not to cop out, but as soon as you read that text, as far as feeling better right now in 2024 about the Texans defense, not so much with the offense, that was my knee-jerk reaction going into this thing. And ultimately, big picture wise, again, not to cop out, just how I feel in this moment, it's very similar to how I feel about the team from last year. Because last year, it all came quick, right? We were talking about a draft class. We were talking about two rookies that would go on to win Rookie of the Year with Will Anderson Jr. and CJ Stroud. You were ahead of schedule. The feelings were good, but going in, you still knew you were very young, very inexperienced, and this was kind of just a bonus to a first season for a lot of these young guys. So whenever I work in now in 2024, those same young guys, maybe even on the offensive side of the ball, I don't think they're performing as well this year. I still like that they have a year under their belt in the NFL, a year under their belt with playoff experience last year for this young Texans team. And ultimately, I feel very similar. I'm not ultra confident. I'm not thinking it's necessarily an automatic first round and you're out of here, see you, exit. Very similar. Much better with the defense, not so much with the offense, kind of evening it out there.
Yeah. It's not even close to me.
That's interesting.
Obviously, you know, this group also has experience from last year, which they played in the playoffs and they've been there, but it's not real close for me. From the text line coming through, Ron, I agree 100% with Clint. With the D is dominant. We're talking about defense. While the D is dominant, the offense is just bad. And if our D has an off day against a high-powered offensive team, then it's game over. Yeah, I mean, I like last year, if your offense was off, it was generally game over last year, right? So, this is a team that is carried by its defense right now, yep. and from week to week, they're running game with a quarterback that has skill or has some skilled players that they can go and make some plays, right? I talked about it weeks ago, and I know many of you people it's going to be hard for you because, you know, sometimes you hear me say this team's name, it's a struggle for you, but we talked about this weeks ago. This feels like a team that is very built the same way the Chiefs were last year in their playoff.
Bundle of Ruski do.
Obviously, a poor man's version of that with Mahomes and CJ Stroud there, but a team that is carried with this defense that it's hard to see teams just going off. Like for me, it's hard to see offenses just completely going the hell off on the Texans defense, especially when they're as healthy as they mean. They're going to be without Petrie, but they'll get Aziz back soon. It's hard to see that. But can your quarterback and your offense make some plays?
Yeah, look, I think here's the deal with the defense and really the team, because you mentioned that the defense is elite. It's a defensive-driven football team right now. I mean, they are a extremely, extremely dependent on getting the turnover. When they don't get turnovers, they give up 32 to the Titans. You know, when they don't get turnovers, Mac Jones goes off in the second half. You get turnovers versus the Lions, boom. You get turnovers versus Green Bay. I'm just trying to talk the good teams that they played. You got a chance to win in the fourth quarter. Green Bay turned it over 3 times. Detroit turned it over 5 times. The Dolphins yesterday turned it over several times. So I mean, they are – and I'm not minimizing that. That's defense. That's playing defense. Yeah, that's an identity, right? I mean, they've
done it so much that it's clearly, to me, not luck.
Yeah, no, I agree. The pressure is busting pipes. The problem is that there has been a few times when guys hit the big ball over the top and the explosives have become a problem. And so, you know, they're just super dependent on the turnover. So you find teams, you know, you run up against a team with quarterbacks that aren't going to turn the football over or don't turn the football over, then I think it's going to be a problem for the Texans. But they've turned the better teams that they've played over, so may be all for none.
Again, I'm not saying that I think this group is going to make a run and win the AFC or go to a Super Bowl. I just, like, for me right now, I feel better about this group's chances of advancing. And I know it's weird because, like, someone just texted in, like, Ron, they're going to be at a disadvantage at quarterback in a lot of their playoff games. And I understand that. I understand, and if you've heard me before, this is, to me, football is a coach and quarterback league. And, yes, I think when they face the Chiefs, and Mahomes is healthy, or if he's playing, if they face the Ravens, if they face the Chargers, if they face the Bills, clearly, like, they are at a disadvantage. But I still think you can see, like, all right, even if Mahomes plays next week, I would be shocked if the Chiefs offense just went off on the Texans defense. Like, just went off and went for 30 plus. I'd be shocked if Buffalo, if they play him again, if Buffalo just went off and put up 40 like they've done the last 2 weeks. And D'Amico Ryans is coaching this team with these plays. I would be shocked. So I feel like they're going to keep them in the game like they did against the Packers. Like they did. I mean, the Vikings really is the only team
that get away from
that where it just completely got away from them. But no, I don't think that that teams are just going to just get a, you know, get just crush them. Can CJ, Nico, Joe make some plays down the stretch? I do. I feel better. I feel like when they played Baltimore last year, Clint, I didn't think they had a chance.
But defense was nasty.
Yeah, I didn't think they had a chance. Experience, a lot of stuff. Like, I remember saying it last year when we were talking about that game. CJ's got to be the best player on the field. That's going to be tough with Lamar and the MVP on the other side. This year, I don't know if there is a game in the AFC where I walk into and I'm like, they got no shot.
Well, to your point specifically, I don't know that there's a game in the SEC. I almost said SEC.
In the SEC either. I don't think there's a game in the Southeast.
You know, I don't know that there's a game that you go into with this defense and go, boy, CJ's got to be the best version of CJ ever to win this game.
Yeah.
Like, he can game manage. I think CJ with this defense can game manage his way to he can game manage his way to a playoff win or more. You know? Yeah. I do think that's real. Now, can he consistently do that? Can they consistently protect him so he can do that? You know, can Bobby get it together for 4 quarters and not just 1 half kind of deal? You know, can situational football, they were great yesterday in terms of opening the game and the second half with points and responding, you know, getting points off of turnovers in some way, shape, or form. So they were great with that yesterday. Can they do that against a team that's not sub 500?
All right, let's get with that because I wanted to hear your – I want to hear you explain a little bit something you talked about before the show started. Because a lot of people, and I'm seeing it up and down the text line, mm-hmm. up and down YouTube and Twitch, when we just talked about this, our offense can't play with him. Our offense can't play with him. Our offense can't play with him. A lot of people were frustrated, mad, pissed with yesterday's offensive performance coming off the bye week. Where were you at? What were your thoughts with the Texans' offense yesterday? Was you all right with how they performed, or were you pissed about it? We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
The Drive is live.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
CJ scrambling to the left, squaring up. CJ throwing back of the end zone. Caught, Nico Collins. Touchdown, Houston. Stroud with the improvisation to find Collins in the end zone.
All right, there it is. Nico Collins, one of two touchdowns he caught yesterday. I think he only had 17 yards receiving, but two of them for scores down in the red zone that helped the Texans take care of the Dolphins 20-12 and win another AFC South championship. I pose on the other side, the Texans offense from yesterday, that performance yesterday, were you cool with it or did it piss you off? Text line coming through, Clint, everyone should be pissed after how good they were on offense last year as opposed to this year. Defense is the only reason where we're at. At this point, I have little confidence of the offense showing us much more than they already have done. Slowick was the passing game coordinator in San Francisco, and it seems he doesn't grasp how to scheme a run offense as well.
All right, Slowick losing it?
All right, they win 20-12 yesterday. We're helped by four Tua turnovers. And they put 20 points up on the board. Clint, your thoughts of the offense from yesterday, because it seems like a lot of people were really frustrated come out of yesterday's game.
I got zero problems with it. I got zero problems with it. I'm not writing home about it. It obviously was not the production that you would hope for. There was clearly there were some missed opportunities, some drives that just stalled in three and out kind of deal. But when you look at overall the quote unquote situational football, you start fast with a field goal out of the gate. By the way, that drive stalled because your quarterback decided to throw a go route to a running back instead of take the tight end over the middle of the field wide open for the first down. For those that want to point fingers, just that's the quarterback. That's not the OC. But that's why that drive stalled. But you get 3 points. So you start fast there. You come out in the second half and you get a touchdown on your first drive. So you start fast there. You know, the turnovers are a beautiful thing from the defense. In the first half, you converted two turnovers into 10 points. So you converted those. And look, I know you were gifted field position, but the fact that they ended in points, one of them being a touchdown, was a big plus. I thought the protection overall gave up four sacks, but I thought the protection overall was something that you can win with. The quarterback, when he was pressured, when he did have to move to avoid pressure, the other four guys appeared to be winning. And so there was, you know, avoid one guy and you can go make a play kind of deal instead of just the pocket collapsing. You know, they had a great plan, obviously, putting Jalen Ramsey on Nico Collins and taking him out of the game. You said four catches, 17 yards. But in a game where he's limited to 17 yards, he impacts the game because he catches two touchdowns.
Yep.
Two of his four catches are touchdowns. I thought your quarterback, there were four throws in yesterday's, maybe even five, but there were at least four throws in yesterday's game that are exactly what I've been talking about we need to see from C.J. Stroud. I thought he game managed the hell out of that game once it got to, you mentioned earlier, 20-6 in the second half.
People don't want to hear that, Clint.
No. They didn't like when I say it. I wonder if they minded when Trent Green said it.
No, I don't think they liked it either. I see Tyler. Game manager, but, you hear that, Tyler?
But that's,
game managed the hell out of that yesterday.
Stop it!
That's what you want is when you get up 26, you want to minimize the risk, right? You want to chew the clock. Now look, they didn't do a great job of that, but they ended up understanding the game. Hey, there's no doubt about it. D'Amico Ryans goes to Bobby Slowick and says, "Hey, Bobby, these cats, we got them. We got their number. We know exactly what they're trying to do. We just got to get the bus in the barn, the hay in the barn, whatever the hell you talk about. We just got to get to the last whistle, and this thing's going to be over." You look at Nico and what he was able to do in a game when he was off. You look at the throws that again CJ makes. You can look at the third down and short throw to Tank Dell as he's literally going down. He makes a monster throw. Both touchdowns to Nico Collins were extend the play, find the open receiver type deal. You look at the throw to Mechie that Mechie dropped that would have been a touchdown. That was big time. The throw to in the last drive there, which chewed up some time off the clock. The last throw to, I believe it was Xavier Hutchinson on the right side. He had to move in the pocket a little bit, the quickest release in the damn game, and he throws a deep out route to the sideline. Was absolute money. I thought all of those things are things that you want. You want your quarterback to game manage and then make a difference in four or five throws. If Mechie catches that ball in the second half, it blows the game open and it's over. And it adds another 60 yards to his total, another touchdown to his total, and we're sitting here talking about a monster day by C.J. Stroud. Again, while he's game managing and picking and choosing when he goes out and makes plays. So I obviously want to see more. You know, I obviously want to see more production. The run game stunk yesterday overall because, hell, the run numbers look good in the box score, but you don't forget that the Dare Agunbowale fake punt was a bunch of those rush yards, right?
Is that where those rush yards came from? I'm trying to figure out how they
got. Yeah, it was that fake punt.
I don't remember them running for that many yards.
I know we got 35 on that play.
I don't remember them running for no 70-something yards.
Yeah, so I understand all that. But, boy, when you start talking about the situational football, complementary football, making the most out of the game-changing types of opportunities that you get, converting turnovers into points. It's hard to argue with what we saw yesterday. Of course, we all want more. Of course, we would like to have just stomped a mud hole in the Dolphins. But with that, would have came some significant risk, yeah. And you would have you wanted to minimize the number of times that you gave two of the football. Well, so I'm not as disappointed as a lot of folks are.
Yeah, it was. Listen, we talked about it Thursday. We said it may be best for the Texans that, you know, he plays in the game manager role. We talked about their last two losses. The recent losses came with him turning the ball over two times apiece, two interceptions in both of those games. And this game, there came a time at 20-6 when they come out and they get the extra touchdown. They get a field goal at the end, granted, helped by the defense's interception, and then they come back and they get 10 points. From the last time the Dolphins touched the ball to the next time they got it, the Texans put 10 points on the board at 20-6. Like at that point, it was like, yo, it really feels like the way our defense is playing, if we don't help them, we should be good. Mm-hmm. And D'Amico always talks about complimentary football. And that was complimentary football yesterday. Made plays when he had to make them. But, yeah, so, I mean, listen, I'd like for them not to kick as many field goals. And they get in the red zone, make some plays, and do that. But and sustain some drives more. Right? I'd like for Shaq Mason not to just get his ass kicked in within a second. Or Patterson on some of these rushes.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Some of those things. But overall, they did. The Dolphins kept shooting themselves in the foot. And the Texans didn't do it. And so, I mean, listen, 20 ain't going to beat everybody. But you can see and sense how the game was going was like, yeah, I don't think the Dolphins going to score two or three more times unless we help them.
Yeah. I love the way – a couple other things, Ron. I love the way they got Tank Dell, and I'd like to see more of it. But I love the speed sweep to Tank Dell. Now we've all seen Bobby call it, use it, and Tank Dell be you know, the player, the explosive, twitchy player that he is, to go make something out of nothing and go get 15 yards, 12 yards, 15 yards, whatever it was. That was big. Yeah, man, did I mention I like the O-line switch up?
We'll dig into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there's a lot of substance to what we saw yesterday. I think, obviously, the headliner's the defense, but man, offensively, I just think the overall product is something that you can win with. Now, again, you got to be better, but there was some moments that they had to capitalize in, and they capitalized in those moments.
All right, we'll get to our players of the game, our Man Eye Institute players of the game, and I get a feeling I can guarantee one person will be on that bad boy. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in on a Reaction Monday.
Yeah, it is.
Victory Monday.
Yeah, it is.
By the way, as I'm seeing this up on the screen, Grant Dubose, scary, scary situation. We set up there. We were there, those in the stadium, we were there, those... even watching, saw him go down, and you know, it looked like it was serious right from the beginning. Apparently he has movement in all of his extremities, and he is at talking. They kept him here in Houston overnight for precaution, but apparently the worst didn't occur, man. When you see, I don't know how many times I've ever seen injury and then cut off the jersey, cut off the pads and vital machine, you know, on top of them as they're wheeling them out. That one you don't see, you know, a lot. Like, I mean, if we think about from the Trevor hit, you know, went into fencing, but he got up and set, and they drove him off on the cart. This gentleman, that looked serious. They put the neck brace on him and everything. That looked serious, but it is good to hear that it looks like he has movement, arms, legs, and everything, and he's in a much, much better spot than what we saw him on the field, because that was a scary, scary, scary sight. All right, let's do Our players of the game. You can text in yours as well. Our Man Eye Institute players of the game. Clint, I will start. I will start with my player of the game. And hell, he may not be a player. He was a player. But I thought D'Amico Ryans was absolutely sensational yesterday. If there was a Coach of the Week award, I think he should get it. He proved what I said last week even more than what I meant. I told you, I feel like D'Amico coming off a bye, giving him 2 weeks to prepare for this Dolphins offense. He'll have something there that he'll be able to kind of help his team win. That was the big reasoning why, coming off the bye week, 2 weeks to prepare. And Clint, they had a game plan that was out of this world. They clearly, it seemed like, did a couple of different things. One, they confused Tua and Mike McDaniel, showing different coverages and then coming out of it, showing cover three a lot and then changing it. But they did the old Belichick to Peyton Manning thing, and they said, "Hey, Tua, how long can you be patient and take these checkdowns? How long? I don't believe you can keep doing it.
Yep.
I want to challenge you to see how long you can keep taking these throws to 83 and to A-chain and the easy throws and not just get a little antsy and just say, oh, I got to hit it. I got to get it to 10. I got to get to 17. And all three of his interceptions, and really you could probably look at all four of his turnovers because he was holding the ball on the strip, trying to get the ball downfield to Tyreek Hill. All three of the interceptions, Tyreek Hill was who he was trying to target. And D'Amico Ryans showed why, as we've said on this show, and I know I've said, he's one of the top five defensive minds in football. And that game plan, he used no Azeez Alshire, no Jalen Petrie. And still, I mean, what he was doing with Lassiter, what he was doing with Stingley and everything, fantastic job from D'Amico Ryan. So he is my Man Eye Institute player of the game.
I think that's very fair. That was a hell of a plan. And, when you got guys that are all on a string like that for four quarters and nobody's out of pocket, nobody's eyes are in the wrong place, nobody, if they were, it was very rare and it was hard to find when somebody was out of pocket. Because as you mentioned, I think the most impressive part, Ron, of the D'Amico Ryan's plan was the fact that nobody ever got out of pocket on this defense. Not one time.
Nobody tried to do something else that wasn't their job.
Not one time. And the thing is, there was a lot of risk associated with it. Kalen Bullitt coming down from center field and undercutting dig routes. I mean, that's a low safety. We talked about the last week about how, like, I think the plan was going to be like a shallow zone coverage. It was shallow, all right. they were shallow and horny. Tyler, you like it? They were shallow horny. Sounds. I'm not defining Tyler. I'm talking about the Texans defense yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not shallow.
I'll tell you. Well, that's debatable. Here's
morning,
Ron. I'm going to drill down on this defense a little bit because I think they're
drill it down.
I think there's several guys that could get this. I mean, either defensive end. One of them had a sack and a half. The other one had the biggest sack, turnover, sack, fumble. Probably one of the biggest plays on the defense. Derek Stingley with big play. Kalen Bullitt with big play. But hey, I'm going to go with the man that ain't played football in about 42 months.
Feels like it.
I'm going to go with Christian Harris.
He cost me a bottle of wine.
That too. That's really what won him the award. He cost Ron a little bit of money, which that's hard to do, boy. But Christian Harris, after not playing football for God knows how long, I'm not going to count the one day he was on the practice field in camp. But for him to go out there, what did they say? He played 80% of the snaps?
Yeah, 80-plus, yeah.
80% of the snaps. He was the third leading tackler on his football team. He had eight tackles, four solo tackles. The speed was obvious, and I don't know who was talking more trash, him or Tim Settle. Big Tim Settle had him a day. Put his finger in the ear hole of one of those guys one time. May have got him a flag. But the Christian Harris being back out there after not playing and performing that well, being a part of a defense that was able to lock down that offense like that, that was big. So I'm going to ride. My Man Eye Institute player of the game is linebacker Christian Harris.
Didn't seem like there's a lot of rust with 048.
Nope.
He was rolling. All right, Tyler, who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
I'm going to go with the fella that I think a lot of our listeners out there have been watching the text line they have. I'm going with Derek Stingley Jr.
No,
obviously.
Really?
Yeah. Shocker! Two huge interceptions for Derek Stingley Jr., both, I believe, in the fourth quarter, one of which sealing that win for the Texans over the Dolphins yesterday. This dude is very quickly asserting himself as one of the top defensive backs in the NFL, one of them kind of lockdown corners you love to see wearing your team's colors. So I'm going with Derek Stingley Jr.
Yeah, if he can be that consistent, you know, coming out with the approach like he did against the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb like he did yesterday, like, yeah, I think what Cecil Shorts tweeted yesterday about him, we got to start having a conversation that Derek Stingley is a top two corner and he ain't two. If he brings it like that every single week, like, you're right, that dude's got all the talent in the world, and he put it on display yesterday to just, I mean, that interception he got where he battled Tyreek Hill and took it from him, and I mean, it was just Tua couldn't solve him. Again, don't know why Tua felt the need to pick on 24.
Yeah,
but he was.
You're a Tiger, but now you're a Texan. Well,
there's a lot of good corners out there, and I don't know if you stack them all up game for game versus this receiver, that receiver, head to head type stuff. Big, I don't know where he ranks. I know it's in the top somewhere, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find a guy that's matched up in big moments better, really, since the Cleveland game last year. The playoff game. I mean, D'Amico's probably called on him four or five times to match up man versus the opponent's best receiver, and he's had his best moments. Then you look at yesterday, like both of his interceptions, he was guarding Tyreek Hill man. and then you look at the degree of difficulty of the second interception that ended the game. I mean, like, at some point, you got to start going, hey, man, the truth of the matter is other dudes around the league ain't making these plays on these wide receivers.
His ball skills, I think, probably, you know, you don't see everybody in the league.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to think many corners have better ball skills.
Yeah.
When it's in the air, he's got a chance to come down with it. So, it was special performance. He was the best player on the field yesterday from Derek Stingley Jr. Those are our Manai Institute players of the game coming up. It is Monday, so you know we do this every single week. Got our quarterback. All of you all watch quarterbacks every week. What was C.J. Stroud's grade? 18 for 26, 131 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 picks, no turnovers, and a quarter, or I guess that one turnover is attached to him, but we understand the center and him exchange. But quarterback rating of 106 in the game. What was C.J. Stroud's grade? We'll discuss that coming up next.